jump right out of it. Zippity-doo-da, zippity-ay. My, oh my, what a wonderful day. Plenty of sunshine heading my way. Zippity-doo-da, zippity-ay. Mr. Bluebird's on my shoulder. It's the truth. It's actual. Everything is satisfactual. Zippity-doo-da, zippity-ay. Wonderful feeling, wonderful day. Yes, sir. Zippity-doo-da, zippity-ay. My, oh my, what a wonderful day.
Oh, plenty of sunshine in the way.
I said, you all can go to hell. I'm going to Texas.
All right, howdy, good morning, worthy friends. It's the Bear Brief here on the Crusade Channel, the last live radio station standing, coming to you from the Republic of Texas on this Friday, June 26, 2020. It's that same year, man. It's been 2020 for 10 years, it feels like. It's your humble host, Captain Middle America himself, Rick Barrett, bringing you the news of the day and that narrative that'll follow. Join me at any time, 844-527-8723, or you can jump in that Crusader Stadium at crusadechannel.com/chat. C-H-A-T, username, password, email, and as the saying goes, you'll be good to go. So check it out now. You can also follow me on some social medias if you'd like. Twitter, Barrett Brief, and Parler, Barrett Brief. Both spell the same, B-A-R-R-E-T-T-B-R-I-E-F. And then you can use that same spelling for gmail.com as well. If you'd like to send me any fan mail, any of those electronic mails that's just adoring, telling me if I'm just amazing or simply awesome. Either way, barrettbrief@gmail.com. Go ahead and send me some stuff. So we got a good show for you today, as always. Daniel Savekas joins us at the top of the second hour with his newest piece he just dropped at Freedom Works about D.C. and the calls to make D.C. a state and what's going on with that, even though the Constitution clearly states that can't happen. Can't wait to talk to Daniel about that. Our significant digit today comes to us from Rasmussen's, and it talks to us, well, Rasmussen's in Just the News, that we have 51% of black voters believe there are only two genders, which completely rejects the ideology of the Marxist organization of Black Lives Matters, proving that BLM, or just BM at this point, is nothing more than a progressive Marxist organization designed to use black people to further its agenda. What else is new? Then we go across the interwebs. I'm going to push back on my squishy governor, Governor Abbott, and this entire false narrative that even though Andrew Cuomo has got a ton of deaths in his, the amount of deaths in his state compared to states like Florida and Texas is not even measurable, yet he gets to go on CNN and talk to his little, his brother about how bad Texas and Florida are doing. Also, he wants to put in this travel ban. I'm sorry, who in the hell is going to go to New York now? It's a friggin' war zone. Why am I going to travel? I got to go there in August for a wedding, but why would I go there now? Yeah, that's right. I got to go there in August for my brother-in-law is getting married up in New York. So maybe I'll swing by and see Joe and Joe while I'm up there. We'll do a tri-cast. Joe, and myself, we'll do a show together. And we'll break the Crusade Channel. Because that'll be... You don't hear my accent, my Rhode Island accent, when I'm outside the state of Rhode Island. But when I'm around my people... When I'm around my people, it comes back, and it's pretty hardcore, either way. But the fact that Texas and Florida and California, which nobody's talking about, by the way, having a rise in cases, yet nobody wants to have this conversation about the protests. I just had some guy on Facebook call me a Nazi, which means I was right. About New York doesn't have a rise and they had protests. Yeah, that's because from the city.gov back on June 14th, New York City contact tracers were told not to ask about the George Floyd protest participation. All right, the contact tracers were told don't ask about protesters. So if they just got it, they just got it. And yet nobody can answer the question about what happened in Houston or Dallas and Fort Worth about 2 weeks ago. But nope, Governor Squish here. Governor wants to be president in 2020. I'm sorry, 2024. He's trying to set himself up. So he's shutting down the state again, even though there's really no... No reason for it. So we'll decimate that in the next, at the bottom of the second hour. Top of the third hour, boy oh boy, do I have a fun story to talk about. I'm going to let you in on the newest post I'm doing in the series about buying your first handgun. This one is step four, choosing the size of your handgun. Because it can get very difficult. You have full size, compact, and then micro. And then the difference between what some manufacturers think are compact and micro and subcompact, it gets weird. So I'm trying to break it down as best I can. If you're a new shooter, if this is the first gun you're ever going to buy, do not buy a micro or a pocket pistol. Please don't. Because they are uncomfortable to shoot and you're never going to use it. You're like, ooh, this gun's so cute. It looks like a little James Bond gun. Yeah, no, they don't shoot like that in real life. The recoil is very hard to manage. Getting your targets sighted, getting back on sight is difficult. And really, the big thing is that it's just not fun. It's just not fun to shoot. So I would recommend, now if you want to try and do like a concealed carry, like I said, I'll get into this more in the top of the third hour. If you want to do like a concealed carry, if you want to get an all-purpose gun, right? The one gun, which you could really do now because of the size and the capacity, you're probably going to want to go like a Glock 19 size. Or if you just want to keep it at home, I would say get the biggest gun you can. Because bigger guns have better recoil management and they're going to be more fun to train on and shoot. And like I said, we'll go over all that in the top of the third hour. This segment of the program is brought to you by the amazing books you can get at mikechurch.com/shop, S-H-O-P. I'm going to keep pushing Albert Taylor Bledsoe's Is Davis a Trailer? I can't even push it correctly. Traitor. Is Davis a traitor? Because if you go looking for is Davis a trailer, you're not going to find anything. But go look for is Davis a traitor? Because it has long been recognized as the best work on the subject of the constitutionality of secession. This book was put together by Mike Church and Brian McClanahan, and it is a fantastic read, especially as we steamroll towards the possibility and the eventual outcome of having a conversation about a national divorce. Read up on it. Is Davis a traitor? MikeChurch.com/shop. And then we have these stories in entertainment news. The first big movie was supposed to come out in 2 weeks. It's Christopher Nolan's Tenet. It was supposed to come out July 17th. Pushed back to August 12th. The movie theaters and the movie industry is super nervous, especially after the Karen swooped in on AMC and demanded the face masks and all this other nonsense. By the way, if you guys were in the chat room yesterday at crusadechannel.com/chat, the neck gaiter I was showing from the guy in California who does the Catholic hats and stuff, yeah, I grabbed one of those. So, because, and I know, people give it, don't wear the mask. One of my jobs here is Crusade Channel movie critic. So when the movie theaters actually start screening films again, I'm going to want to actually have to go do that job. And in order to do so, I got to wear a neck gaiter or something like that. So, at least if I do it, I'll be proclaiming the good, true, and beautiful. And that's a good thing about that gentleman, JMJ Cat 3. He's a part-time police officer. Well, he's a police officer and part-time, that's his vocation to spread the good, true, and beautiful. So I like to give him some support, just like you guys should be giving us support at MikeChurch.com/shop, shopping in the Founders Trading Post, especially if you're into cigars. We have so many awesome cigars up there at MikeChurch.com/shop. You got to check it out. Please do. MikeChurch.com/shop. Please help us and get some great stuff too. So we're going to talk about the fact that Christopher Nolan's Tenet is being pushed back. That's the first big film. Now, studios are trying to, like we talked about, they're trying to get people back into the habit of going films by giving theaters like The Goonies and Back to the Future and The Avengers. Like, hey, you can go see these movies for $5 just to kind of get used to it again. People aren't doing it. And like I said yesterday, there's a study. Half of Americans are not into it. And then finally, we have this story from this Yahoo, which is probably the best way to describe her. Lindsay Parker at Yahoo wrote in a column on Wednesday that it might finally be time to replace the Star Spangled Banner because of the blatant racist connotations. So what does this genius Lindsay Parker want to replace the Star Spangled Banner with? Right? Out of the hundreds of thousands of songs out there in life and through history, what does this raging lunatic liberal think is the best choice to replace the Star Spangled Banner? Right? Because it was written by Francis Scott Key, who was born into a wealthy slave-owning family. Right. Okay. So that's her issue. And of course, it's part of all this other nonsense that she's been pushing. And then she wants to promote the song Imagine, right? The most anti-Christian, anti-religious song ever. She thinks, and I use the word think pretty lightly, that Imagine would be the greatest song ever for our country. Because it's so diverse and it's so amazing. And everybody could you just see people singing Imagine? Well, I'm going to tell you why that's A, stupid, which I've already told you a little bit of it. And B, I'm going to give you my choice for the new national anthem when the American states separate and decide that it's time to go our own way. And it's not the Fleetwood Mac song, Go Your Own Way, which I'm sure some of you would actually be in favor of. But I'm going to give you my choice for a new national anthem. Of course, my national anthem will be for the newly Confederate states, or however, whatever we want to call them, right? We could use Confederacy if we really wanted to stick it to people, or if we wanted to keep it to, or come up with something new. Either way, I've got a hell of a choice for a new anthem. And not Imagine. Imagine is such an intellectually shallow song, right? It's just so dumb. And it's just so simple, right? It's this, the personification of all really foolish, happy-go-lucky thinking, like, oh, imagine if everything was just so beautiful. It's the Karen of songs. It's just awful. So, of course, Ben Shapiro supports the idea of making Imagine the national anthem, because that guy's just an idiot too. I'm sorry, I'm going to just say it. So, that's all coming up today. Of course, we'll finish out our virtue of the week, which is humility. And then on top of that, the world famous You've Gotta Be Kidding Me to end this week. And I'm telling you, folks, it's been a week. It is. Yeah, somebody just sent me a message on Parler, so I guess we parlayed, telling me that the LCP, we were talking about pocket pistols, he bought an LCP last year. Horrible decision. If it's your first gun, yes, it is. I have an LCP, too, that I carry. And believe me, I don't shoot it. I shoot it twice a year, maybe once a year, just to make sure the internals are working. But after that, I'll clean it and keep it on me. Right? And so, I'm with you, my man. I'm with you. That's just a terrible... People get sucked into it. They absolutely get sucked into it because the idiots at the counter show them the gun and it fits. And like, oh, it's so nice. And it's guys, too. They're like, oh, I can hide this anywhere. And it's going to be like, they think they're James Bond with the Walter. And they, you know, no. I fell for it, too, folks. I did the James Bond pose with it. I'm just always intellectually honest. All right, folks. Great show coming up for you today on the Bear Brief here on the Crusade Channel. Always on air. Always online at CrusadeChannel.com. Coming back in the next segment, talking about our significant digit and more news. I'll continue to blast Greg Abbott, the last live radio station standing.
On the Barrett Brief Show, we live by a simple creed. If the answer is, Orange Man Bad did it, then the question was asked by a Brie Larson fanboy.
All right. We are ready to go on this Friday edition of the Bear Brief here on the Crusade Channel, the last live radio station standing. Coming to you from the Republic of Texas on this June 26, 2020. Yep, it's still 2020. It's your humble host, Captain Middle America himself, Rick Bear, bringing you the news of the day. And that narrative that'll follow, you can join me at any time, 844-527-8723. Or you can jump in that Crusader Stadium at crusadechannel.com/chat, CHAT. It's free for you to use, username, password, email, and you're good to go. Hang out there, get in the trust tree of the internet, which is the Crusader Stadium. If you'd like to follow me on social media, you can always do so by going on the Twitter feed if you're a glutton for punishment, Barrett Brief, BARRETTBRIEF. And guess what? That works on Parler too, because everybody's on the Parler right now. Parler is so hot right now. So check it out and hang out with us there. Coming up in this segment of the program, which is brought to you by my friends at StingerUSA.com, StingerUSA.com, the home of the honestly priced AR-15 handguards, which are made in the USA and certified by the third-party verifier, made in the USA brand. Also, rails, accessories, and other great stuff, StingerUSA.com. When you're done shopping at StingerUSA.com, a family-owned business in Allen, Texas, use the promo code CRUSADE at checkout. That's right, promo code CRUSADE at checkout for an exclusive Crusader listener discount. That is CRUSADE at checkout, StingerUSA.com, StingerUSA.com, honestly priced AR-15 handguards, rails, and accessories, and a supporter of the Crusade channel, StingerUSA.com. Let's get into it. Our significant digit for this day comes to us from justthenews.com. And it is continuing to support what I was one of the first to say. Not supposed to be prideful, I'm just reminding you. I was painted as a racist, ignorant, stupid. Some of those are true. By being one of the first to tell you that Black Lives Matter is not a Christian organization. Black Lives Matter is not a good thing. Do we need to talk about racial relations and the fact that we are all fallen men and there's a sin problem and we have to avoid falling into those traps? Yes, absolutely. But does that mean that I have to join a group that funnels money to the Democrats and promotes abortion, transgenderism, single family households, does not include, is anti-male, pro-black power? No. No, I do not. And I've been pointing this out. And I've been saying, hey, you know what is the antidote to Black Lives Matter? Strong black men. Right? If you see a guy that's supporting Black Lives Matter, he's usually effeminate. Like, oh, yes, Black Lives Matter. Doesn't have to be even be a sodomite. Just has to be effeminate. Could be what they call metrosexual. The one that really pushes back are strong black men. Ryan Bomberg. Lord, whatever his name is from the band that nobody knows about. We played his audio clip earlier this week. Eric July. And dozens, Zuby, dozens of others. Unfortunately, I have to say dozens because those are the only ones that I've found. But they all push back. That is the antidote to Black Lives Matter. Because Black Lives Matter is nothing more than a Marxist organization. From their lips, they're a Marxist organization. From their lips, they are a Marxist organization that seeks to use black people to push agendas. I've read you studies. Most black people don't want police defunded because they're in those neighborhoods keeping good black Americans safe. It's not white liberals that are keeping them safe or trying to patrol those neighborhoods or trying to help them. No, it's police officers of all races, black, white, Asian. black people time and time again. And I hate that I have to start categorizing it, but that's the position we're in. Black Americans are telling us, don't defund the police. You know who's telling you to defund the police? White liberal women and effeminate black men. They're the ones driving down to these protests, screaming at cops, demanding to defund the police, and then driving back to their suburban home. They're the ones driving down, saying black trans lives matter, whatever the hell that means. They're the ones pushing abortion and single family households. The Democratic Party supports all these. Notice how white suburban women vote for the Democratic Party. It's weird that they kind of go hand in hand. So this poll, and this is reported by Carrie Sheffield, this poll from Just the News and Scott Rasmussen, 62% of black U.S. voters say there are only two genders. There are only two genders. Directly flying in the face of Black Lives Matter, which speaks about creating safe spaces for transgenders and disassembling the patriarchy and getting rid of men and all this stuff. All this stuff that black Americans are like, nah, we're good. We're really okay. Biological male females, 49% of whites say there are only two genders. You know why? Because most of those are suburban white liberal females who are pushing this agenda. You know who else they're known as Mike Church coined the phrase, tranny mammies. They're the ones pushing it. They're the ones screaming it. They're the ones protesting it. They're the ones who shame you if you say, nah, I only believe in two genders. They ree and they scream at you. They turn into a spider monkey and they attack. Only 30% of black voters, according to the study, said there were other gender identities, which is the lowest. 44% of white people said that there are, and 39% of Hispanics said there are. And so when we look at this and we're told, and if you notice, who are the ones that the Black Lives Matter organization is starting to parade out now? It's men, like the guy on Fox News who said, you know, we're going to burn this system to the ground if we don't get what we want. Are you listening, folks? Are you listening? I only say that because I'm going to talk about a story I didn't mention in the bluff. The State Department has come out and said the threat of terrorism for white supremacists is on the rise. Excuse me? I'm sorry, what? Remember when we were told that Antifa was, you couldn't designate it a terrorist organization, blah, 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 blah. I told you you could. I actually read the FBI definition and how they could do so. But understand, and I'll talk about this when I cover that story, nobody's coming to help you. The state, which most of you, or not you, which most people have decided will be their protector, will not be their protector. But we'll get to that in a moment. Back into this article from JustTheNews.com. This is a pretty significant measure for a massive cultural shift. As on many other questions, there's a significant gap between those voters under 45 and elders. A majority of older voters believe they're just two genders. Younger voters who were left in public schools for 20 years think or are evenly divided. This Just the News poll respondents were asked this question. Do you believe there are only two genders, biological males and females? Or are there other gender identities? I'm surprised you guys didn't ask Neil Gorsuch. I'm sure he would have told you that. Of course, this goes hand in hand with other polls that nobody wants to talk about. This one was released a couple days ago, where voters overwhelmingly oppose the transgender movement to let biological males compete in women's sports. The point I read that is that between your average American and your average Black American, right? Black Americans have been painted in such different ways, but they really just want to exist. They want the same things as a Hispanic American or an Asian American. Now, of course, they are indoctrinated from birth by the Democratic Party. Rich, you can't say that. Whoa. Hold on. Most Black Americans live in cities that are run by liberals. They go to schools that are run by liberals. Of course, that's everywhere. They go to colleges, which are dominated by liberals. They don't have two-parent households, so there is no strength there. Their churches have been infiltrated to be pushed by liberals. And so, of course, you're getting this response from them that obviously this is Black America is being pushed down and held down when really the ones, it's not Republicans that are doing it. And the argument of systematic racism as a whole doesn't exist. And I don't want to get into that, but the idea that people who get through or who go through the education system, right? Get masters, get PhDs, and then write about systematic racism proves that systematic racism doesn't exist. At least as a society. Now, people want to argue about individual systems and okay. But the easiest way to push back on systematic racism is if it is in place to keep white people above everybody else, why do Asians and Indians make more per household than whites? Or are you trying to tell me it's just related to Blacks? And then once you start doing that, you start getting into the, you try to pin down these things individually, it just doesn't work. So that's our significant digit of the day. It's the fact that your average Black voter wants police in their neighborhood. They don't want the police defunded. Your average Black voter rejects the idea of transgenderism. So why, when you hear these studies, how can you push back against the idea that Democrats, legacy media, and the state as a whole pushes racism? Right? Eric July has a great thing. Racism without statism is just a bad idea. And I really wish I could get him on to explain it fully because he has crafted this thing out. But essentially, it's this. Racism cannot exist without the state. And who profits from racism? The state. What do I mean? The state is given power to subjugate people. The state stays in power by saying, if you don't elect us, this is going to happen. The state exists to subjugate all people, at least in its current form. The way when you give yourself over to a modernist society that has no foundation, that does not have a foundation in what it was rooted on. What do I mean? Western civilization is rooted in. The foundation of Western civilization is Christianity. I don't care what you want to argue about Ra and all this. Christianity was stolen from the Egyptians. Blah, 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 blah. Whatever you think, people who don't believe in Christianity, you have a tough time realizing that the only reason Western civilization exists is because of Christianity. Black Americans, a lot of them are religious. A lot of them have the belief. I would call them evangelical brothers and sisters. So who needs to keep those groups divided? The state. And so racism without statism is a bad idea. Racism is a product of the state. and how would it and how would it, the authority that is invested in it and how that state has a moral compass. And I'll tie in Joseph Pierce's idea, smaller is beautiful, a smaller society that's rooted in Christianity. You can have black America, you can have blacks and whites and Asians all living in that society if they all subscribe to the same core principle. That's why the Catholic Church is the universal church. Because it doesn't matter. And if you have your basis in that, that's why when people are like, white supremacists are Christians. No. Nazis are not Christians. It's impossible. The ideologies don't even mix. But when you have the same moral compass, it works. And that's why, even though it's not in the Constitution, it's in a letter from Thomas Jefferson, people quote church and state. Church and state is nowhere in the Constitution or in the Bill of Rights. Church and state is in a letter from Jefferson to, I think, a group in Connecticut. Yet that letter, because it's pitch perfect from the state to show, can't have church and state, can't have church and state, even though Black Lives Matter is essentially a state-sponsored religion at this point. And the idea, as we're talking about here on the Bad Brief on the Crusade Channel, the last live radio station standing, always on air, always online at crusadechannel.com, that Black Lives Matter speaks for the black community is false. The idea that Black Lives Matter has the black community's best interest in mind is false. What is it? It is a way to push government-sanctioned government-sanctioned religious beliefs. Belief in transgenderism, belief in abortion, belief in the single family household upon the masses and guilt you. But I did the story from the founder of BET. Pretty much doesn't like Black Lives Matter either because it's nothing but a show group to have people make themselves feel better, like things are happening. When it's not. So that's what we're looking at. And honestly, when you get down to it, it is the separation of you and me and our black brothers and sisters and our Asian brothers and sisters and all of them. Our Mexican brothers and sisters. It's that separation that the state depends on. It's that separation that they need to have, and they need us divided, and they need us fighting on apps like Twitter and Facebook. They need us in our homes and not in our churches, which is why churches are still shut down over most of the country. Hell, they need us to not congregate in bars. Because it doesn't matter what color you are. Everybody's the same over a beer or shots or whatever the case, whatever your drink of choice is. As I always like to joke, I was joking with Mike Church when I was hanging out with him in, February BCE before Corona existed. You know, you guys can drink whatever you want. Just give me a cheeseburger. We all hang out. That's mine. Or give me a cigar. But those places of congregation, churches, bars, restaurants, patios, they're continuing to be stripped away from us. As we see poll after poll after poll that shows us we have more in common together under God than we do ever against each other. And Black Lives Matter does not preach forgiveness. That's the biggest thing. That's the thing I've been fighting against with people who are Christian, quote unquote, that push it. Black Lives Matter seeks division. Black Lives Matter seeks no cohesion. They want us at each other's throats. And you cannot have any progress. And you cannot have any of this if you have continuing division. And so that's why I want to highlight these studies as much as possible. All right, folks. That's it for this segment. I'm going to talk about after Daniel Savegas comes up in the next segment of the program here on the Barrett Brief on the Crusade Channel, talking about how this nonsensical idea, we're going to push for D.C. statehood. Why would we do that? That would be stupid. You can get D.C. I get the top of California. Right? Let's keep talking about this. But he's going to join me. His article is great. I'll drop it in the chat room at crusadechannel.com/chat, C-H-A-T. Read it for yourself. It's a great article. And then we're going to debunk this nonsense that Vox and others are saying. Coronavirus cases are increasing, but Black Lives Matter protests don't seem to be the cause. Even though I've cited for you that in New York at least, they're not asking about the Black Lives. They never asked, did you go to the Black Lives? They just completely ignore it. So it's just one of those issues. And we're going to debunk it. We're going to absolutely make sure that this whole thing, at least here on the Crusade Channel, has correct pushback against it. As Mike Church has been doing, as I've been doing, as Joe and Joe and Aaron Barker and Brother Andre Maria, we've all been taking our approaches to this and decimating it. Because it's very easy to decimate. We just have to continue. We have to be strong enough to continue because it's a long fight. It's a long fight to November. All right, that's it for this segment of the Barrett Brief here on the Crusade Channel. Always on air, always online at crusadechannel.com. Coming back with Daniel Savegas of Freedom Works, the last live radio station standing. Welcome back to the Barrett Brief here on the Crusade Channel, the last live radio station standing, coming to you from the Republic of Texas on this Friday, June 26, 2020. It's your humble host, Captain Middle America himself, Rick Barrett, bringing you the news of the day and the narrative that'll follow. 844-527-8723, crusadechannel.com/chat, C-H-A-T, if you want to be a part of the conversation at any time, and check out the sweet Top Gun gifts. This segment of the program is brought to you by Foundations Restored, a Catholic perspective on creation. Go check out the first two episodes for free at crusadechannel.com/Adam. You're going to be blown away by the production value of this. crusadechannel.com/Adam, Foundations Restored, a Catholic perspective on creation. It's Friday, it's noon Eastern time, and so it's time for Mr. Daniel Savakis of Freedom Works to join me again here on the Barrett Brief on the Crusade Channel, the last live radio station standing. Speaking of bringing the heat, he absolutely does with his latest article on why people who want D.C. statehood, in my humble words, not his, are just frankly stupid. Welcome back to the Barrett Brief, Daniel. How are you, sir?
Good to be back, Rick.
Great. So we have this, and of course, This is like many other things you've been reporting on because everybody else is chasing corona or riots or whatever the case may be for clicks. You're actually breaking down what's happening. And this one hits very close to home for you. What's going on with the case for DC statehood?
Yeah, so a lot of people, like you said, are chasing down coronavirus or what's going on in the world of sports or anything else. And meanwhile, the House of Representatives is voting today on a bill that would make DC the 51st state in the United States. And like I said, or well, like you said, not what I said, it's a dumb idea. and it's par for the course for Nancy Pelosi's House of Representatives. But it's flatly unconstitutional. The Article 1 of our Constitution gives Congress exclusive jurisdiction over the seat of government in the United States, and it would require a constitutional amendment to change that. Yep. And they're just plowing ahead anyway, kind of just covering their ears and ignoring the fact that Congress, the body that wants to give up control over the seat of government, would actually have to pass a constitutional amendment, something they haven't tried to do for a long time. And they're just ignoring this fact that what they're trying to do is blatantly unconstitutional.
So what is the... I mean, obviously, it's always a plan to try and push this and gain support, or even if it's a... if it's just a way to placate those who've been screaming about it for a while. I mean, it did pass a voter resolution back in 2016, the referendum. I'm sorry, a referendum to send it to the House. So the people in Washington, D.C. want it. But what would be the overall gain for them to push something that they know can't go anywhere?
There's no overall gain. It kind of makes people feel better, and statehood is a very catchy slogan, catchier than some of the alternative proposals that I'm sure we'll talk about. But just saying, we want to be the 51st state. I remember, because I live in the district, I remember walking around during that time and seeing all the posters on every lamppost and street corner, all the red, like, vote yes on statehood. And I think over 80% of the district ended up doing that. But as they'll find out, it's not going to happen, because even though it'll get through Nancy Pelosi's house, it won't go through the Senate. It probably wouldn't pass muster in the court system and would be vetoed by President Trump pretty quickly. And presidents of all stripes through the years have rejected D.C. statehood. Obama's the only one who really came close to endorsing D.C. statehood, but did absolutely nothing about it. So this hasn't even been a partisan issue until Nancy Pelosi decided to make it one ahead of the election and to try and use it in her pitch to make America feel bad about their treatment of minorities or something along those lines. I'm not quite up on what the talking point of the day is.
Well, it changes. It changes, yeah, by the day, depending on what time zone you're in also. But Washington, D.C. is always... Despite the fact that it's in the Constitution, and you know when you live there that, hey, well, you, I'm sorry, I'm giving the education system in Washington, D.C. way too much credit, or anywhere else, that the founding or the idea of having the District of Columbia was so you don't have a state, Maryland, Virginia, New York, hell, even Rhode Island was trying to get in on it back in the day. Having that be the seat of power, because then that state gets way too much more influence than everybody else. But yet you still have the license plates of taxation without representation. And they try to call back to that initial revolutionary spirit. Yet there's really nothing in there that gives them that idea. But you mentioned you're a D.C. resident, and I'm talking to Daniel Savakis. You're the Barrett Brief on the Crusade Channel, the last live radio station standing. As a D.C. resident, do you in any way associate or kind of give any kind of... Do you associate with the idea of taxation without representation for the people in D.C.?
No, absolutely not. It's never something that's meant a whole heck of a lot to me. because I know the representative that D.C. would get in Congress would be one of 435. So it's not like that would make too terribly much of a difference. And I consider my representative to be the one from New Jersey's 7th District, which was where I lived before I moved to D.C. I just consider that person my representative because New Jersey 7th kind of represents my interests better than anyone from Washington, D.C. would, given that I'm a transplant. And also, I think this is where the true thrust of why people want D.C. statehood is that it would create a reliable state for two Democrat senators for all of time. If you look at presidential elections, I don't think the Republican candidate for president has gotten even close to 10% in Washington, D.C. for quite some time. Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats know that their agenda kind of dies in the Senate nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
So if they get D.C. statehood, they get two Democrat senators in what would be a state with almost 90% Democrats, and that wouldn't represent me too terribly much either. And also, yeah, for me, someone who knows the Constitution and works to defend it, I know that it would be a violation of that work to actually make this city that I live in a state.
What about this idea, and you talk about this in your article at FreedomWorks, which I dropped in the chat room at crusadechannel.com/chat. What about retrocession? What's the idea behind retrocession?
Yeah, so I talk about some of the history, and it's a fun bit of history if you want to look more into it, is that D.C. used to be a perfect 10-mile by 10-mile square, which were the dimensions, the exact maximum dimensions laid out in the Constitution. But today it's, I think, something like 68.3 square miles now. And that's because the other 31 square miles and change got retroceded back to Virginia in the 1840s because the people of what was then Alexandria County, D.C. used to be five different entities put together. It used to be the city of Washington, which is what we know as the White House, the Capitol, and the Supreme Court, and the immediately surrounding area,
mm-hmm,
the neighborhood of Georgetown. And then it was Washington County, Alexandria County, and the city of Alexandria, which is more or less what we know it as today. And the city of Alexandria and Alexandria County got frustrated because they were kind of being neglected by Congress, and they felt like they were being experimented on because Congress could do whatever they wanted, and they didn't really have a vote. So what happened is they voted to become a part of Virginia again. Virginia wanted to take that land back, and Congress passed a bill to retrocede that land, Alexandria County and the city of Alexandria, back to Virginia. So that's what could happen if this is really a fight about giving people representation in Congress and minimizing Congress's jurisdiction over people who don't have a representative. You could retrocede what used to be Washington County, which is pretty much everything but the area immediately surrounding the Capitol.
Mm-hmm.
You retrocede Washington County back to Maryland. I'm not sure if Maryland would want to do that. that's a conversation for another day. But if you retrocede that territory, which is basically the northern and eastern parts of D.C. right now, you retrocede it back to Maryland. Maryland's apportionment in the Electoral College and congressional representation would be adjusted based on the new population. People would get representatives. They wouldn't violate the Constitution because the federal government would still have exclusive jurisdiction over the seat of government. It would just be smaller.
That's insane. Yeah, and the question about that is that people, it sounds very easy, right? And it should be something very, it should be a very clear thing to say, oh, well, we want statehood. It's like, okay, very, we'll give it to you this way. You can have statehood, go back to the state that you were supposed to be a part of, instead of trying to, once again, circumvent or try to adjust on the fly this concept of making the place that's not supposed to have any involvement with any state whatsoever into that. I would be more than happy to get rid of this glob that is Washington, D.C., because it's just, it's this perfect, even though it's not a bubble, but it's a perfect encapsulation of why the federal government cannot get too much power or influence anywhere, because it's the only place, as some people remarked during the financial crisis of 2000, of the late 2008, and even probably just recently, as everybody else is losing jobs across the board. I know the government lost a little bit, but that place is never affected, and it can't be that way. It can't be this area that is constantly building and expanding and employing people. And you know what? Call me cold-hearted. Those people have to live in states like Virginia or Maryland, where they have to be subject to the terrible Maryland governor or the terrible Virginia governor. So and if that's going to be the case, instead of having this blob that kind of continues to just expand out, and to have them try to circumvent it, say, oh, well, now that we have all these people, let's just make a state. Instead, no, you need to go back to where you came from. That's the only solution here. What is the realistic chances of that taking place?
I think the realistic chance of anything changing about DC status is slim to none. I expect that we'll continue to be a federal district and a city. I don't think we'll retrocede, because I think the state legislator and the governor of Maryland might throw a fit about that. And there are some reasons why they might do that. There are some problems in D.C. that they just immediately inherit. Also, I think it's a bit of a stretch, because people who really desperately want representation are free to move to Virginia or Maryland, and it's no more than 5 miles in any direction. If it means that much to you, you feel like you're existing under a tyranny or taxation without representation. Literally, throw a rock 5 miles in any direction and you're out of the district and you can have representation. I go for walks now just to get out of this house because of the lockdowns. Literally takes me no more than 45 minutes if I'm walking down the street, and I'll end up in Maryland. I'm that close. I'm in the northwest corner of D.C. But there are just so many ways around this problem that it's really unrealistic, but the Democrats want to make it a rallying cry. They're shooting their shot for two more senators that they'll have pretty much forever, because there's no way D.C. is changing from a 90% Democrat to anywhere close to a swing state anytime soon. But I guess, fortunately, it's fun to talk about retrocession and statehood and think about what might be, but I don't expect anything to change.
My last question, do you think Virginia and Maryland want nothing to do with Washington because of the obscene high crime rate?
I think that's part of it. I think you inherit a bit of the crime rate, some of the impoverished areas. There are some beautiful areas in Northwest D.C. that I'm sure are not what's on Maryland's mind. But all of those problems immediately go to Maryland. There probably have to be some expensive transition plan. And I know for people like Larry Hogan, they might have to worry about being able to be reelected if they subsume most of D.C.'s population, which are a bunch of Acela Corridor Democrats. So that's definitely a problem. And those are the problems I say that retrocession might be good for D.C. Maryland might have some things to say about it. I'm not sure what they could do if Congress decided to go that route, because we're kind of in unprecedented territories, because the last time Virginia wanted that territory back, and they kind of led Congress to do it. I'm not sure how it would look if Congress takes the lead without Maryland's consent. It's something fun to think about, but again, not something I expect in the near future.
Last question for you. What do you think of Parler? Are you going to jump on there, or do you think it's a fad?
Yeah, I hope it's legit, because I actually got to do an interview in the FreedomWorks studio right before all the shutdowns happened. We had the COO of Parler come in and explain what the platform is and pitch it to our activists. And it looks pretty cool. I might get on if there's a demonstrated interest and I can generate a following kind of like I have on Twitter. Yeah. So I hope it was it, because I think that's that's the solution. You and I have been talking about this because Twitter, I'm not in favor of tech regulation, and Twitter knows that some conservatives feel that way, and they're just walking down the tracks, and they don't see the big smokestack over the horizon, and they think they can fight this train when it comes for them. They're just moving with reckless abandon. So I think the solution is something like Parler that gives them some competition and shows you got to start treating these people how you say in your terms of service, or people are just going to have this mass exodus. So I would recommend people get on Parler. I'm thinking about it myself. FreedomWorks is already on Parler. Check it out.
All right. Good to hear. Another excellent segment. Thank you, Danny, for for hanging out with me. It's Friday, dude. I'm struggling towards the end of this show. Daniel Savakis, thank you so much for hanging out with me this week.
Yeah, good talking to you, Rick.
All right, talk to you next week, my friend. All right, Daniel Savakis joins me on FreedomWorks after I butchered his name, but that's all right, folks. We are going down the track on this Friday, June 26, 2020, and we are going to have a bunch of different topics to talk about as we go across the interwebs in the next segment of the program. But before we get there, I'm just going to give you an update on what's going on with Governor Greg Abbott and his attempts to push back. People are actually saying, I'm not complying now, bro. I'm not doing it. I'm not going back. People are openly saying this is just not going to work for me because I don't want to. I am not going to be put back behind quarantine or restrictions or whatever you want to call it. Because 6.5 million Texans are out of work. They're just starting to get back to work. And now Governor Greg Abbott, because he's worried about how legacy media looks at him, and how the legacy media looks at him. People in D.C., people in Baltimore, this squish at the Texas Tribune, which is an outwardly liberal organization, has been hammering him, and he is so concerned about 2024 that he's going to take these calacious steps, or cautious steps, or whatever you want to call it. Here, people here in Texas are probably not going to follow this. It looks like people are just going to push back because why would we do this now? Why would I just as my bar is starting to get back up, am I going to have to actually shut everything down again? Very interesting. Maybe Texans will tell Abbott, if you want to close down the state, come and take it. Keep my eye on it. Plus, we continue to go across the interwebs. You're listening to the Barrett Brief here on the Crusade Channel. Always on air, always online at crusadechannel.com. The last live radio station standing.
You have found the Wuhan, China virus free speech paradise that is the Crusade Channel. Goofy surgical masks worn in public sold separately.
All right, welcome back to the Barrett Brief here on the Crusade Channel, the last live radio station standing. Coming to you from the Republic of Texas on this June 26, 2020, it's your most humble of hosts, Captain Middle America himself, Rick Barrett, bringing you the news of today and the narrative that'll follow. 844-527-8723. Follow me on Twitter and Parler, Barrett Brief, BarrettBrieff. And you can follow me for the coldest takes on the interwebs. This segment of the program is brought to you by three brand new rosaries in the Founders Trading Post at mikechurch.com/shop. That's right. We have three beautiful rosaries. I apparently did not talk them up enough yesterday, but I'm telling you, These three rosaries, handmade, battle-tested, gorgeous. The Royal Blue Essential Oils Rosary, Salmon with Brown Accents Rosary, and the Aquamarine December Birthstone Rosary. You got to check them all out. They are all absolutely amazing. Please take a look at them. Check out the Founders Trading Post and the Little Bayou Rosary. MikeChurch.com/shop. MikeChurch.com/shop. All right, let's go across the interwebs for our stories in this segment of the program. First off, let's get to it. The coronavirus nonsense, which has apparently taken out Governor Greg Abbott because he is just bending the knee to the pressure of the coronavirus cycle. And I'm talking about stuff like this from Reuters.com. Coronavirus may have infected 10 times more people than in America than reported. That's right. I just said that. The CDC released this yesterday at 11:30 in the morning. I'll read that headline again. Coronavirus may have infected 10 times more people in America than the CDC reported. Government experts believe more than 20 million Americans could have contracted the coronavirus, Wuhan coronavirus, 10 times more than official counts, indicating many people without symptoms have or have had the disease. The estimates from the Center of Disease Control and Prevention, which hasn't done anything, is based on serology testing used to determine the presence of antibodies. The officials, speaking to a small group of reporters on Wednesday night, said the estimate is based on the known number of cases between 2.3 and 2.4 million, multiplied by the average rate of antibodies seen at about an average of 10 to 1. If you multiply the cases by that ratio, that's where you get 20 million Americans. If true, the estimates would suggest the percentage of U.S. deaths from the disease is lower than they thought. More than 120,000 Americans have died from the disease with it. That's a more appropriate way to say it. But you have to look at this. They're freaking out about testing or positivity cases rising. At the same time, at the other side of their mouth, they're like, oh yeah, by the way, like 20 million people probably have already had it. I'm sorry, what? Yeah, 20 million. We continue in this article from Reuters.com. We have heard from Florida and Texas that roughly half of the new cases that are reporting are people under the age of 35, many of them asymptomatic, i.e., these are the people you want to get sick that are asymptomatic, that'll run its course, and they will develop antibodies. But I bet you didn't hear that until you listened to the Bear Brief here on the Crusade Channel. CDC's like, yeah, by the way, like 20 million people probably have had it later. Because if that's the case, that drags all the numbers down. All the numbers down. And then we have this article that continuing with our coronavirus coverage from Just the News. Texas hospital CEO, COVID inpatient count is quote unquote misinterpreted and the level of alarm is unwarranted. In Texas, focal point of national anxiety about a coronavirus second wave, the state counts every COVID positive hospital patient as a hospitalization as for COVID itself. Let me say that again. The state counts every COVID positive hospital patient as a hospitalization. So let's say you go in for a sprained ankle. And they test you for COVID, and you come back COVID, but you had a sprained ankle. Now that's a COVID-19 sprained ankle. Numbers are being inflated. It's by Daniel Payne of JustTheNews.com. Which is why people in Texas are going, dude, no, Greg Abbott. What are you doing shutting down? Well, we have a spike in positivity. That's because you're testing everybody and their dog for COVID-19. Oh, looks like your puppy Fluffy got COVID-19. That's a positive case. What are you talking about? It's my dog. My dog doesn't have COVID-19. Yeah, it does. And that's going to be an unknown positive COVID-19 case. Health officials in Texas are logging every single COVID-19 positive hospital patient in the state as a COVID-19 hospitalization. Not a hospitalization with a person who has COVID-19, but a hospitalization due to COVID-19. Well, here's the thing. New Jersey dumped a ton of data this week, which inflated, I think it was a backlog from early June. They just dumped all that information earlier this week, which completely skewed all the numbers. The policy may be serving to artificially inflate what seems like a significant COVID-19 surge in the state. Now, Texas has been the focal point lately of a national anxiety over concerns that a second wave of the coronavirus has begun. And everybody's saying, well, you opened up the state too early. You opened up. I legitimately tell you this, folks. I was watching the local news this morning. I only watch it for a little bit, just to get the weather and everything of that nature. They are trying to tell us that COVID-19 has been spread from parties. And you know what they're saying? Oh, it's not from the protests. It's not from the protests. It's from the parties people are having. Meanwhile, nobody is talking about the protests. They try to tell you, oh, the Black Lives Matter protests, they didn't have any effect. Oh, but the city of New York is not asking positive people in New York if they went to the protests if they have COVID-19. They're just completely whitewashing that. And they're putting out stories that it's not the thousands of people in Houston, Houston, Dallas, Fort Worth, Austin, El Paso. Not the thousands of people gathering. It's the 10 people that went to the barber shop. They're the ones spreading COVID-19. It's lunacy. And that's why people in Texas are pushing back against Governor Abbott. Like, I'm not going to do this. You're shutting down a bar. You're shutting down all bars in 15 minutes today. You can still do takeout, delivery, all that crap. But they're shutting down bars in 15 minutes. 3 weeks ago? 2 weeks ago? George Floyd's funeral? Thousands of people. Protests in Austin? Hundreds of people. Fort Worth? Rioters that they let go. Dallas, protests, rioters. If you didn't step up then, Governor, and say, hey, I know we're all, you could even say it however you want. I know we're all sad at the passing of George Floyd, but we're not allowing public funerals for anybody that includes George Floyd. And then if they riot, you're like, listen, they're not following. We'll just smoke, you know, we'll smack this down. But no, Abbott's getting the blame, but not the governors of, not the mayors of Houston, Dallas, San Antonio. All these states have all liberal mayors, all Democratic mayors. All of them allowed mass protests. And now all of them are turning and looking at Governor Greg Abbott saying, why would you let this happen? Yeah, and then Rashad Brooks as well. For any old reason, right? If you're claiming you're peacefully protesting, that's what the bar should do. I'm peacefully protesting, and I'm opening up my bar to protesters. Shut me down. COVID-19 hospital, I already read that. Lindsay Rosales, a spokeswoman for the Texas Department of State Health Services, confirmed to Just the News this week the state is categorizing every inpatient in the state with a positive COVID-19 test as a COVID-19 hospitalization. She said the number of hospitalization patients include patients with lab-confirmed cases of COVID-19. Asked if inpatients in the state are tested for COVID-19 whenever they arrive, she said hospitals set their own protocols. Amid worry, major hospital leaders stress calm. Queries to multiple Texas hospital officials this week went unanswered, but leaders of several major hospitals in Houston this week urged the public to remain calm. At a virtual press conference on Thursday, the chief executives of Houston Methodist, Memorial Hermann Health System, St. Luke's Health, and Texas Children's Hospital stated that their hospitals are well prepared to handle an even greater increase. But who gets all the attention? The Houston mayor. That's point. Oh, well, we have to have them go to the children's hospital because we don't know what we're going to do. The people who are stressing calm and saying we're fine, don't get any airplay. The people that are stressing the end of Nye, which agrees with the legacy media narrative, those are the ones that are getting the push. And Texas still, with this spike, Florida or Arizona, one of these states that is reporting, listen, we're having an increase in cases, but it's not an increase in hospitalizations. We're not having an increase in hospitalizations. We're just having an increase in cases. The beds have not been overfilled. The deaths have not spiked. Yes, we've had a couple days where they've been in the 20s. But to make this seem like there is some absolutely terrible second wave is just false. For the simple reason that it is not correct. It is, you're being lied to. I'm sorry I have to say it that way. You're being manipulated because they're counting the tests. They're not categorizing the test correctly. There's still 12,597 hospital beds, 1,300 ICU beds across the state, and 5,700 ventilators. Yeah, we've seen an uptick. We're still well under 2,300 deaths. I mean, we're having a little bit of a spike. Yesterday, we had, on the 25th, we had 47 deaths. But then again, I don't trust this data. Are all 47 of those deaths COVID-19, or did they die with it? I can't even trust this data from the state anymore. Because the state's even telling you, yeah, well, if they come in and they happen to test positive, then we're going to count it. But we're not going to ask them if they went to the protests. Our contact tracers aren't going to make that a priority. But if you went to that bar, I'm telling you, you did a bad thing. Moving along across the interwebs from the AP, Council advances plan to dismantle Minneapolis Police Department. This is by Amy Fortellini and Stephen Kronowski of the Associated Press. The Minneapolis City Council on Friday unanimously approved a proposal to ensure that they will turn into mini Mogadishu, to change their city charter to allow the police department to be dismantled. The 12-0 vote is the first step in the process that faces significant bureaucratic obstacles to make the November ballot, which the city voters would then have the final say. It came amid a spat of recent shootings in Minnesota's largest city that have heightened many citizens' concern about the talk of dismantling the department. This is the fact that these things are even gaining traction just shows you how stupid people in cities are. It's unfathomable, right? Inconceivable that at the beginning of June, nobody would have talked about dismantling the police. I would talk about police reform with you all day and night. I think the state has too much power. We kill because we can. Definitely trying to rein in that apparatus. But completely dismantling the police? Eh, you're kind of dumb to do that. You're kind of foolish to do that. But hey, you really want to turn into Mini Mogadishu, you go right ahead. Have fun with it. I don't feel bad for the people of Minnesota. Just like I don't feel bad for the people in states. I'm upset when they go after statues of saints. But I'm not upset, or I'm not concerned with people in other states who are being terrorized. I'm just going to have to say as generally as possible. People who are terrorized by the policies they endorse. What do you mean, Rick? I mean, you voted for these Democratic politicians. That's you. That's your boy. That's who you voted for. This is what you get. This is what you get. Right? And the governor of Wisconsin finally called out the National Guard yesterday, realizing it's too late. But if you're going to sit back, folks, and just watch, if you live in Minneapolis, you're going to watch your state do this, then that's on you. That's on you. All right, next story we're going to cover. This comes to us once again from Reuters.com. Mexican president slammed after comments on women staying at home. Mexican President Andres Manuel López Obrador, I know, my tongue's just not rolling with this, on Thursday suggested the tradition of women staying at home to take care of older family members was the key to battling the coronavirus pandemic, sparking criticism that it was sexist. Of course, this is not the first time the 66-year-old leader has been accused of making tone-deaf comments. People want to change women's role, and that is one of the just causes of feminism. But the tradition in Mexico is that daughters are the ones who care for the most for the, this did not translate well, who care the most for parents. We men are more detached, López Obrador said. Whereas seniors in nursing homes in Europe have suffered with the pandemic, Mexico's elders were helped by the custom of being cared for at home, which should be a Catholic tradition, by the way, not just a Mexican tradition. But I've been arguing that for a while. He said, adding that the Mexican family is the most important social security institution in the country. Well, I actually agree with this guy. Translating the parents' 19th century thinking, when he says men are more detached, he means irresponsible daughters take care of their parents. He's referring to unpaid work. Tradition refers to machismo. Feminism wants to change roles. True transformation, said Martha Tagger, a lawmaker and spinster with the Citizens Movement Party. The hashtag Almo Machismo, or Sexist Almo, in reference to the president's initials, was trending. Almo Machismo insists on sending women to be caregivers. But we have news for him. We are citizens and we are feminists who will no longer tolerate his presidential misogyny. Cats for everybody. I'm sorry, that's not them. That's me. Claudia Castillo, who describes herself as a sociologist and feminist. Oh, so she describes herself as one she must be. But the crazy thing is López Obrador has actually a point. The family... You know, if most Americans took care of their grandparents, would we have had such a high rate of death? Nope, we just shovel them off into the nursing homes. That's right. To the person in the chat, crusadechannel.com/chat, Ann Felton. Yeah, feminism has changed. It has changed the structure of the family. Feminism is cancer. It's nonsense. We will no longer be caregivers. All right, well, you definitely are caregivers when you get 15 cats in your house when you're 50 and nobody loves you anymore. This idea that he's sexist because he asked kids to take care of their parents, it just shows how much of a nonsensical idea feminism is. And then finally, the last thing we have is the CDC adds 3 new coronavirus symptoms to list. This is from the New York Post. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention appears to have recently added 3 new symptoms to COVID-19. Congestion, runny nose, nausea, and diarrhea were added, making sure that every single symptom that you could have for anything is now COVID. That's me, not them. But what else are you going to have? If your ankle hurts, you have COVID. If you have a sore back, it's COVID. If you have diarrhea, it's COVID. If you have a runny nose, it's COVID. It legitimately is the virus for everyone. All right, folks, that's it for going across the interwebs. Coming up, we'll talk about Yahoo Music Director wanting to change the national anthem, my talk on handguns, and more here on the Barrett Brief on the Crusade Channel, the last live radio station standing. Welcome back to the Barrett Brief here on the Crusade Channel, the last live radio station standing, coming to you from the Republic of Texas on this June 26, 2020. It is your humble host, Captain Middle America himself, Rick Barrett, bringing you the news of the day and the narrative that'll follow. 844-527-8723. Thank you, G Money, in the chat room. Got to get the Airwolf. Is that what it is? Airwolf? The Airwolf gifts going in the chat. Such an 80s show. It's about a guy in a helicopter flying around fighting crime. At least that's what I know about it. Oh, my bad. It couldn't be... Justin, it couldn't be more 80s unless it was like a dog. A guy in a dog flying around in a helicopter fighting crime. That would have been the best Airwolf. It's right. Oh, man. That's fantastic. Just let's hope they don't touch Airwolf in a reboot, because it'll be like a lesbian, a transgender lesbian handicap flying around with her 14 cats fighting social injustice. Hopefully not. Anyway, in this segment of the Barrett Brief, here on the Crusade Channel, brought to you by our friends at Bulldog Kia at BulldogKia.com. I'll talk to you about my friends at Bulldog in a moment. I'm going to give you a little bit of a preview of my next step in the six-part step of buying your handgun for the first time. Which today, or this week, next week, I don't know why I'm having trouble with the thinking today, but we are going to be talking about size of handgun. And there actually is an argument there. It's not just it's not just a random thing. It actually makes sense. And stick around, because we got a brand new Barker, Aaron Barker, with a breakdown coming up after the Barrett Brief. Stick around. It's going to be great, because the breakdown is always great, right? It really is. It's definitely part of the amazing original programming we have on the Crusade Channel. Which, by the way, before I get into all this stuff and I talk about Bulldog Kia, when Mike asks you guys about upgrading your Founders Pass membership, and he hates to do it, understand that the amount of money that we're asking for as far as upgrading your basic membership to a founding brother is not unreasonable. And I'm not saying that the audience thinks it's unreasonable. I just want to give you a comparison. At 5 in the morning, I listened to the first hour of Outkick the Coverage. with Clay Travis. I think it's a pretty good, it's a good show to watch. I listen. I don't even know what I'm talking about. I listen to that in the morning. Clay Travis, he just brought on Jason Whitlock. We're asking you to upgrade your membership. I'm getting to the point here in a moment because he's asking you to become a VIP member for $99. In these quote unquote supposedly tough times, he has no problem telling you on his radio station and telling you on his website to become a VIP member of their community or whatever you call it. And with that, he is asking you for $99 to become a member so you can comment in his chat room or be the first ones to call in. The stuff he's offering. And once again, this is not, or just not a shot at Clay Travis. He's doing what he's got to do. All credit to him. But the guy's asking for $99 a year. We're just asking you to do an upgrade from your basic membership to a monthly membership. And the fact that we feel bad being like, hey guys, can you please upgrade? You got people like Clay Travis like, give us $99 a year, man. We just have to be more confident and tell you, listen to the amazing audience that we have here on the Crusade Channel. The stuff you're getting, you need to pay for. All right? Maybe this is not the right time on Friday in the third hour when nobody's listening to the show. But the stuff you're getting, you need to step up and pay for. Every other outlet has no problem, from Church Militant to Steven Crowder to Outkick the Coverage. Nobody else has a problem saying, listen, what you get from us, you need to pay us for. Somehow, when Mike or I ask, you get, well, guys, that's not very Christian of you to Enough. We love every one of you who is a part of this listener-owned radio enterprise, but that's not enough. If you can, if everybody else can ask for exorbitant amounts of money to just comment in a chat room and get an exclusive phone line, that's what Clay Travis is offering. And he's going to get a bunch of people to sign up for $99 a year. Mike Church is like, I'm giving you the Mike Church Show, the Barrett Brief, the True Money Show, the Breakdown, the Breakthrough with Aaron Barker. The Breakdown with Aaron Barker, Joe and Joe, all original talk radio where you won't hear anywhere else. In addition to the 5-Minute Mysteries, in addition to the creature features that we broadcast on this network, which, by the way, tonight's creature feature is Cry of the Werewolf, which will be excellent. On top of that, on top of the fact that we were the only radio station to broadcast Gone with the Wind when everybody else was getting rid of it. I am going to stop beating around the bush and stop apologizing to ask for your help. We need your help. Please stop throwing back at us. Will you? It's not very Christian to ask for more money as you run to Church Militant and give them however much they need a year. Or you run to Clay Travis and give him $99 a year to comment in a chat room. We don't even charge for the chat room. Other people see the value. They're charging you $99 to use it. We're letting you have it. We're letting you have access to it. It frustrates me because this network, and in particularly headlined by the flagship of Mike Church's show, has brought you such high quality programming. Yeah, you could skip over 11 to 1. That's fine. You could skip over 11 to 2. Everybody else is bringing you high broadcast quality radio. And damn it, my show brings in a point of view that you will never hear anywhere else. And that's only because Mike gives me the opportunity to do so. And I'm sorry I'm going off on a rant. Thank you, Wolfgang Alpha. Thank you so much. I'm sorry I'm going off a rant, but I just remembered seeing and hearing Clay on his radio station with no hesitation and no apology say, listen, man, give me $99. Well, I'll give you an exclusive phone line so you can call in first and you can go hang out and comment on the website. But Mike says, hey, can you go from $9 a month to 16? And everybody clutches the pearl so hard, I figure we're back and gone with the wind. Oh, my. Excuse me, I need to give that money to Clay Travis. Which, by the way, do your thing, man. I'm a fan of his stuff. I love reading Jason Whitlock's columns. I think it's a certain space that he's occupying. But for us, independent media with no backing, and having Mike say, listen, can you give me $9 or $7 more a month? And every month, Mike's got to get pushback. Oh, well, I don't know. Just understand that we, and when I say we, I guess I'm just pointing out myself, I look at other independent outlets. Shapiro, Crowder, Clay Travis, Church Militant, you name it. Right? Nick DiPaolo, he's a comedian from the Northeast. He started his own YouTube page. He's on Patreon. He's like, give me money. And people are like, okay. And he's on YouTube and people are throwing him super chats. I'm watching Tim Pool get tons of super chats and all this other stuff. And yet Mike Church builds a, he's not piggybacking off YouTube. He's not piggybacking off Fox News, Fox Sports' infrastructure. He has built something that is sustainable, truly, not Chaz sustainable, but truly sustainable to preach truth, not just Catholic truth, but truth. And when he asks for help, He literally gets, do you really need help? Like Mike's trying to get an extra, he's trying to squeeze some more money so he can buy a more expensive car. Do you really need that, Mike? If I want to pay employees and if I want to keep the lights on, yeah, it would be fantastic. And add to it the fact that we can't cooperate with Bulldog Kia at bulldogkia.com out in Athens, Georgia, for a brand new beautiful Kia to give away in our Golden Truth Ticket contest. We got socked with that as well. We can't do the Golden Truth Ticket, but Clay Travis can launch a VIP program where he asks for $99 a year. And everybody's like, yeah, it's cool, man. I love it. Great idea. All right. Rant over. But just to understand, I am done apologizing. I am done apologizing for telling you, you need to pay for this service. You like it, you're listening to it. Now, I always give this caveat. If you can't, I get it. You do what you got to do. But if you can, we need you. And for what Mike has built to provide for you in this entertainment and information outlet, I don't think it's much for him to ask for help. I don't think it's much for him to ask, I need you to upgrade, guys. Or if you're listening on the preview stream, I need you to become a member. Even a basic, $10 a month, man. Think about it. While everybody else has no problem telling you to give them money, why does the Crusade Channel have to apologize for it? Bulldog Kia is our sponsor of this segment of the program at BulldogKia.com. We'll see you at Bulldog Kia. You can check out their 236 vehicles at Bulldog Kia bulldogkia.com at bulldogkia.com right now, or you can call them at 888-652-8493. When you're done discussing either their new or used vehicle inventory and you're going to buy an amazing vehicle from them, ask about the VIP home delivery service, which includes all the paperwork they'll bring to you, sight unseen trade vehicle appraisals, no haggle pricing. Check them out at bulldogkia.com, a rock solid supporter of the Crusade Channel. Please do business with those who do business with us. Bulldog Kia at bulldogkia.com. We'll see you at Bulldog Kia. All right, this week I'm going to be, Monday, I'm going to be dropping my latest segment step article on the 6 steps to buy a handgun. This one we're talking about size. And it boils down to this. If you have never owned a firearm before, and it's going to be much more in-depth, and you're not going to have to pay $99 to access this step and the other 3 steps of knowledge that I'm trying to help and answer a community need. But if you're looking to buy a handgun and you go to the counter at a store, they're going to push you towards pocket guns because pocket guns have a better margin. They're more popular. They're easier to sell because they look like a spy gun, look like a James Bond, little Walther, PPK, and all this. And people fall for them. People fall for them. If you are not carrying, if you just want one for home defense, get a full-sized firearm. Glock 17, Beretta PX4 full-size. It'll say full-size. Why am I suggesting a full-size handgun? A Springfield XD? Why? Because a bigger gun, a bigger handgun, will be able to absorb more recoil. And for a first-time shooter, it will be a more pleasurable experience. You buy a pocket pistol, you take it to the range, that thing is going to go off in your hand. It's going to hurt. To this day, I love my Ruger LCR in 38. It hurts if I put 100 rounds down range because it's a snub-nosed revolver. Of course, I'm using plus P. But don't take your eye. Don't get bamboozled, I guess is the word. By people saying, oh, look, this small LCR and this, you know, Glock 42, these tiny guns that can conceal. And no. Go biggest as your first firearm. A full-sized handgun will be pleasurable to shoot. It will be easier to learn on. And you'll actually go to the range. If it hurts like hell the first time you shoot your gun, are you going to go do it again? No. And the most important thing you do when you get a firearm is practice, 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 practice. You got to put as many rounds down range because you got to learn where the trigger pull is. You got to learn the reset. You got to work the slide action so it's not as stiff. So that's, and I'll talk about it more on Monday when I publish it. This week, just to give you a little taste, we're talking about the size of a firearm. If you want, I can, here's the thing. If you want me to push the series out and talk about like storage and cleaning, I will be more than happy to. The person in the chat room that's asking me that, can you send me an email at barrelbrief@gmail.com so I don't forget? Because I have a tendency to do so. But I will be more than happy to talk about cleaning and storage. Anything you guys want me to talk about in that regard, more than happy to answer the request. Send the request to barrettbrief@gmail.com. BarrettBrief@gmail.com. I love talking about it. And that stuff nobody talks about either. About cleaning. Because that can be intimidating as well. But yeah, absolutely. Actually, step 5 is the big one. Step 5 is caliber, right? That's the one that sends everybody off. Step 5 is going to be about ammo and ammo selection. So that's next week's, not this Monday, but next Monday's step five will be ammo selection. And I can already tell because that's the one that everybody, no matter what, ammo wars are, you could be the most civilized person in the world, but if you are like a 40 Smith & Wesson person, or if you're a 45 person and somebody says, I like 9mm, I think it's better. I've seen perfectly civilized people get absolutely insane about the type of caliber they use. So we'll talk about it in the way that I hope is very open and not upsetting. So yeah, folks, that's it for this segment right now. We're keeping our eye because the COVID-19 task force has shown up for the first time in 2 months. I don't think there's going to be anything really to look into, but we'll see. Also, President Donald Trump just tweeted, legitimately 10 minutes ago, a list of vandals on federal property. The FBI seeking information on 10 or 15 suspects. So hopefully law and order may be restored at least to the Capitol. We'll see. Either way. Yeah, that makes sense. All right, folks. Coming up is the last segment of the program here on the Barrett Brief on the Crusade Channel. Always on air, always online at crusadechannel.com. We'll talk about a new national anthem. The fact that Tenet, the movie, the first big blockbuster, has been pushed back again. We'll finish our Virtue of the Week. And I got a lemon of a You Gotta Be Kidding Me here on the Barrett Brief on the Crusade Channel. Always on air, always online at crusadechannel.com. The last live radio station standing.
Decorated combat pilot. You ask him, he thinks he's the best in the world, but he's a functioning lunatic. Last week, he tried to escape by jump-starting an ambulance.
So bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
Clear! Ah, damn it!
My kind of guy.
It almost hit your tattoo there.
Anyone seen Mr. Murdoch?
The old Ranger tab.
Mr. Murdoch?
Would you think I was crazy if I told you I had one of these?
Something to rise, man.
All right, what a way to start the last segment of the Barrett Brief on this Friday, June 26, 2020. It's your humble host, Captain Middle America himself, Rick Barrett, bringing you the news of the day and the narrative that'll follow 844-527-8723. CrusadeChannel.com/chat. Get in there because we got a brand new breakdown with Aaron Barker coming up after this program. And the continuing of the live, all original, all new shows, starting with Mike Church, going through the Bad Brief, into the breakdown with Aaron Barker. Worthy of your patronage, please consider upgrading your membership today at CrusadeChannel.com/chat. Actually, no, just CrusadeChannel.com. Now, if you want to hang out in the chat room, it's CrusadeChannel.com/chat. I'm sure you guys can figure it out. All right, let's get to it, folks. First one from Deadline's Anthony D'Alessandro. Warner Brothers moves Christopher Nolan's Tenet to August 12th. Warner Brothers is moving its Christopher Nolan action thriller Tenet, this time from Friday, June 31st, to Wednesday, August 12th. The decision comes in the wake of the COVID-19 spike. All this really means is this was the first film that was going to be a headliner at a movie theater, right? People were talking about Mulan. Mulan's a train wreck at this point. Mulan's not going to make the money back that Disney, was hoping it would. So they're just going to release it whenever they can to try and make up as much as possible. only because that movie was made for the Chinese audience, and the Chinese audience will probably never see it. Or they won't see it for a couple of years while this whole thing's going on. So for them, it's like, nuts. So they're just going to release that. But this Christopher Nolan movie, Tenet, was supposed to be the return, right? The return of the theater experience. And to have that kind of continue to get pushed back as people are worried, and especially amongst the backlash that AMC and Regal and all those theaters got by saying you didn't have to wear a face mask, now they're saying you do. So the whole theater industry, just like pretty much everybody else, is trying to figure out how they can try to make a living again amongst all this nonsense. All right. So that's really all we have for that. It's been moved back. They don't know when this, and the box office losses will be incredible to an industry that's already kind of on the ropes. To an industry that was already relying on the Chinese market to begin with. So the fact that the Chinese market is slowly, is gone. Who knows what's going to happen to it going forward. But then again, couldn't happen to a nicer group of people. Let's get to the story that I've been teasing for a while. This is from TheHill.com's Abigail Mihaly. Yahoo Music editor, who really is a Yahoo in this case, it might be the time for a new national anthem. Yahoo Music editor Lindsay Parker argued in a column, spewed nonsense, that it might be time to finally replace the Star Spangled Banner because of its blatant racist connotations. Parker cited historians and activists, who I'm pretty sure aren't lying, who pointed to the national anthem's composers' ties to anti-abolitionists and to the often unheard third stanza about slaves. Human rights activist Kevin Powell, who you know is completely on the up and up, said that Francis Scott Key, a lawyer who persecuted abolitionists, did not believe in freedom for all people. And so they re a bunch more nonsense. And so Parker decides that the new national anthem should be the song from John Lennon, Imagine. Oh, I'm sorry, that's Kevin Powell. The human rights activist wants it to be Imagine because it's the most beautiful, unifying all people backgrounds together song you could have. I disagree. Once the Confederate States of America secede and become their own thing, there is only one song, ladies and gentlemen, that truly speaks for all people. There is only one song that we as freed Americans can rally behind, and there is only one song that truly fits this new free America. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, this is that song. Soak it in. Not the perfect song for our new America? I mean, it's full of patriarchy and misogyny, if you were going to argue it, but you know what? Talks about standing up for what's right. talks about defending those who need defending. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Real American by Rick Derringer is the only song appropriate for this new. And if we're going to do it for America anyway, could you imagine this song being played as the jets fly over? I mean, it's the most epic song ever that really encompasses America. That's why I love playing it, folks. I am such a fan of this song. I actually have it on my phone. I'll listen to the whole song. It's so good. It really is such a good song. And Hulk Hogan isn't a racist, right? He founded the NWO. He had all races and creeds there. So, I mean, there's no better song to have. And you can't kneel. That's right, to the person in the chat room. You can't kneel during that song. Because everybody just wants to, every guy's going to like rip their shirt. Of course, there's going to fat guys. Please don't do that. But it's just going to be this absolutely eruption of just amazingness. Imagine. It's going to put everybody to sleep. Nah, folks. Nah. We're fighting for freedom under the banner of Real American. I'm telling you, this is the song that we must. Everybody will air guitar, you're right. Just wailing on that thing. Imagine. What a... Imagine. Oh, the people. Everybody start crying. Which, I mean, these people are so filled with soy, they probably would anyway. Right? And so... It's just one of these garbage songs. Imagine there's no God in that song. Imagine there's no borders or country. Uh-uh. I want the song that says, I am a real American and I fight for the rights of every man. I am a real American. Fight for what's right. Fight for your rights. Come on. And then, honestly, if you ever really do listen to the song on iTunes, as I have, the ending where the backup singer loses her mind, you have to listen to it all the way in the end. Because it's just like, they're doing that. And this lady in the background's like, I am a real man. She just loses it. It is so good. She does all these kinds of runs. And it's just, it's so patriotic. And it's so American that I feel we're missing a golden opportunity here, folks. Missing such an opportunity as when we have this national divorce and we kind of have this union or confederacy or selection of states in the Americas, right? The collection of American states or the whatever states of America. We have to. We cannot miss the opportunity, I'm telling you, to go with Real American. Because if you don't, it is an absolute travesty. And by the way, is there nothing better to counter the whiny, morose, lame Imagine where it's just, Imagine. Oh, the people just crying this weak, soy-filled song with the machismo of Real American and the guitar just firing everybody up. I mean, for goodness sakes, back in the 80s when that song rang out in arenas, it was like a patriotic rally every time Hulk Hogan showed up, right? American flags would just sprout from people's hands. Especially when he was fighting the Saudi Arabian guy. I forgot his name. the West Coast. From Justin, the West Coast would be the Soviet Union of Undetermined Genders. So the S-U-U-G. Nice. The Iron Sheik. Right. Thank you, people in the chat room. Help me out. I'm limping to the finish here, folks. That's why I needed to hear Real American to kind of fire me up to get me there to the end. But come on. How can you say Imagine? That's such a wussy song. You gotta have Real American by Hulk Hogan. I mean, I'm open to hearing other ones, but there really is no other song you could have that would be a new national anthem if we had to pick one right now. Right? There isn't any other song. If we're going to have like a union or a confederacy of states, it's got to be Real American. And that's why you have to keep American in the title of the new country so we can do that. Right? That's what I'm talking about. Or you could always go with like Degeneration X. Or any song. Just pick something from the WWE catalog and we can go from there. Because they are good theme songs. And that's really what we're looking for, right? We're looking for an American theme song. I'm not married to the anthem. I am married to the anthem if it's either the national anthem or Imagine. Right? If it's either Imagine or the Star Spangled Banner, I'll take the Star Spangled Banner. And nobody could ever, you couldn't have like somebody try to sing it before a Super Bowl. It has to be played. It just would have to be played. I don't know. I'm just saying that is the only option. And I am making that decision here on the Barrett Brief on the Crusade Channel, the last live radio station standing, where we make the big decisions. Like what will be the new national anthem. And I have spoken. Oh, and here's the crazy thing. If Trump heard about that, you know, he would do. I think it's a great idea because I am a real American and I'm a fight for you against fake news. All right. It is time to talk about our virtue of the week, which is humility. Right. Great transition. Nice transition here. From talking about Real American being the new theme song to being humble. And I really tried to focus this week's virtue, or how to look at our virtue of the week. Because this is about, I've been on the air for 2.5 years and cycling through these. Trying to look at these virtues differently every time. And this time, it's really about looking at a virtue of humility. And how do we, as men, get there? Right? How do we get there to a place where we are humble? What are the things in life that hold us back from being humble? Right? Should be easy. Be humble. Oh, okay. Be humble. My priest this week at Mass, when he was giving his homily, he was joking around. Not joking, he was bringing examples up because he was talking about fathers. And he says, I get emails from people and they say, Father, you need to tell people to wear more masks. And then he just pauses and he goes, okay, wear a mask. As in that, I did my job. I told you, wear a mask if you want. So when people say, oh, I got to be humble. Okay, go be humble. Right? Go be humble. All right. Well, it's easy to say that. A great step is going to mikechurch.com/shop and buying the book Humility of Heart. I'm not even setting it up for that. But Humility of Heart is a great way to break down this idea of humility. It helps you step back and think about it. Now, for me, I can, for a little bit, at least identify what is something, a major roadblock for me, Rick Barrett of the Barrett Brief. By the way, people are asking in the chat room what song would be Biden's campaign theme. And if you folks aren't going with Don't Stand So Close to Me from The Police, I don't know what you're doing. I mean, that just has Joe Biden written all over it from The Police. Back into the virtue of the week, which is humility. Because I just caught that. And when I get a good one, I have to make sure it's said before I forget it. But when we look at humility, let's once again look at 1 Peter 5, 5 and 6. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. God opposes the proud. So you have to think to yourself, gentlemen, God opposes Western modernity. Because Western modernity is all about pride and arrogance. Right? How much money you have? How big is your house? How nice is your car? How expensive is your gun? All these things. How much did you pay for that suit? These ways we pin ourselves against each other, gentlemen. These ways that we pin ourselves against each other. That's a form of pride. Right? And so, this idea of pride in America is in everything from Mike Church calls it perfectly, Pride Book, Twitter, social media. Everything in society, instead of being pointed to God, right? Do all things for God. Every time I'm like I said earlier in the month, I'm doing the novena to Saint Joseph. In the first part, Saint Joseph used to walk around and say, "My God, I love you. Help me with the grace to perform this action according to your divine good pleasure." And it's said that Saint Joseph would walk around during the day repeating this before every task. "My God, I love you. Help me with the grace to perform this action according to your divine good pleasure." How many times do we, myself, Rick Barrett included, think that? I try to say it every time before I go on air, at least. But how many times do we do something and we say to ourselves, "Let me do this according to your divine good pleasure, Lord," and not even subconsciously think, "Hey, this is going to look good. I'm going to look good doing this." Now, we have to be worried about, we have to be on guard, gentlemen, about confusing confidence with pride. Very, very difficult line to walk, right? Being confident versus, being arrogant. And these are things we constantly have to work on. A lot of people, when you're asking what's the most important one, they cite the passage, they cite Colossians. Above all these is love. Right? That is the most important virtue is love, guys. Love. Not disputing that it's an important virtue, but I'm continuing to go through life, I find humility to be the most important at a base level. Being humble means you can open yourself up to temperance, prudence, love, faith, godliness, hope, strength. Humility, folks, gentlemen, it is the opposite. It is the opposite of pride and arrogance. And therefore, it is opposing. It is in opposition to modernity. Now, don't get me wrong, folks. Don't get me wrong. Being confident and not being arrogant, you're going to have to work on that. I have nothing for you there. All right, it's time for our Virtue of the Week, where I drudge the depths of the internet to find stories that are so ridiculous it'll have you saying, "You've got to be kidding me." From Fox News, we go somewhere different today. Gary Gastelu, $300,000 Lamborghini wrecked 20 minutes after after leaving the dealership. Supercar broke down on the highway. A $300,000 Lamborghini Hakuren Performance Spider was wrecked on a UK highway. Oh, well, there you go. That's why. 20 minutes after the new owner left the dealership when it broke down and was rear-ended by a van at very high speeds. The incident happened this week on the M1 motorway outside Leeds, Southwest News Service reported. Photos show the right rear quarter of the mid-engine two-seater entirely crushed and the twin posts of the rollover protection system deployed. According to West Yorkshire Police, only the van driver suffered minor head injuries. The Huracan is powered by a 630-horsepower V10 engine and has a top speed of 202 miles an hour, which this vehicle will absolutely never see. I mean, I've heard of lemons, but this is one hell of an expensive lemon. Seriously, folks. How do you bet it broke down when the guy didn't know? I bet you the guy didn't know how to use the standard, the stick shift. Seriously, you've got to be kidding me. All right, folks, stick around for the breakdown with Aaron Barker coming out. Up after this and our creature feature tonight, folks. Cry of the Werewolf. You've been briefed here on the Bear Brief on the Crusade Channel, the last live radio station standing, coming to you from the Republic of Texas. Trumbull host, Captain Middle America himself, Rick Barrett. Stay safe this weekend, and always and forever, Viva Cristo Rey!